Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4. If you're following it in the church Bibles, you can find it on page 735. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 18, the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. They were throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Many of you may not actually know me, so I thought a word of introduction might seem appropriate. Christine and I moved here about 3 years ago from the south to be near family. I'm a retired minister. I've been taking some services out at Crook and some of the Wednesday communions here. But it's a great joy to be here with you sharing this service this morning. Now, we're going to be focusing today on the call of Jesus. Come, follow me. I first responded to Jesus as a young child after my mother had read me a Bible story. I did a little calculation. Through my life, I've probably attended well over 3,000 Sunday services, most of which I don't remember at all. But one of those Sunday mornings was different. I think I was approaching the age of 40. It was a visiting preacher about whom I can remember absolutely nothing except his text. And the moment he announced the text, I knew beyond all shadow of doubt that I personally was being addressed. I literally found myself sitting on the edge of my seat, listening to God's call. And it changed the whole direction of my life. And because that sort of thing can happen any time we come together to worship, can I ask you to bow your heads with me and pray for God to address us? Lord Jesus, you are here just as certainly as you were with those disciples on the beach, only in the power of your Spirit rather than bodily. We pray that you will open our minds to listen to you, our hearts to love you, and our wills to respond to your call. In your name. Amen. So, come, follow me. I think I'm just going to switch this on in case I walk about a bit. Is that okay? Just three words. I'm a bit loud, actually. Can you turn me down a shade? Thanks. Just three words. Spoken on the beach to these four men, Andrew, Peter, James and John, partners in the fishing business of Jonas Zebedee and Sons. Three words that changed the whole direction of their lives. And I'm not going to preach for very long this morning, and I'm just going to focus on three aspects of this call. The first is a very particular one, and that it was a call to a job. A call to a job. Because that's exactly what it was for these particular men. It was a call to change their occupation, because what Jesus had in mind for them would certainly leave no time for fishing, at least not for fish. The catch in future would be different. It would be people precious to God, drawn back to him through what these men would become and what they would say and do. And before we move on to look at the more general way in which this call applies to all of us, I want to zoom in on this aspect of a job for a few moments, because Jesus is still calling some people today to a complete change of occupation. A new job, in effect. Wherever you look in the world, Christian organizations and churches are short of people. Whether it's ordained ministry, mission work, either in this country or abroad, there's a constant cry for more workers. Jesus put it like this: the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, here at St. Thomas's, I've taken on the championing of Mission Aviation Fellowship. Every Saturday in their regular prayer bulletin, we're being asked to pray for vacancies to be filled in pretty well every one of their 26 locations around the world. Pilots, engineers, technicians, and so on. Why do you think Christian work is so short of workers? I mean, is it because God just isn't calling enough people? Or could it be because some of those he's calling aren't really listening, or find it too much of a sacrifice to say yes? What do you think? A very good friend of mine who's here this morning, a retired pastor who many of you know, told me recently that when his children grew up, they said to him, "Dad, whatever we do with our lives, the ministry is certainly not an option." There's a joke, isn't there? How do you make God laugh? Answer: tell him your plans. Well, with one of those young men, God must have had a quiet chuckle. Because on Tuesday, he and his family, this coming Tuesday, moved to Durham to begin to train for the ordained ministry in the Church of England. And I know Dad and Mum are very proud of them. Thank God for those people, men and women, young people too, who do listen and are willing to say yes. And in a congregation of this size, it seems to me statistically quite possible, almost likely, that God is calling someone here to ordained ministry, or to full-time or part-time service in some particular role, whether it's in this country or abroad. How would you recognize such a call? Of course, I can't tell you. It'll be different for every person. But perhaps I can pass on to you some wise advice that was given to me by a very wise vicar. He said, if you think that God has given you the gifts that are suitable for ministry, then surely you should be willing to at least offer yourself to the church. And let the church decide if the call and discern if the call is genuine. You know, the Church of England is quite thorough and quite prayerful in its processing of potential candidates for the ministry. And then that same vicar pointed me and a few others to the ordination service, and there's a section in it that describes what ordained ministers are commissioned to do. And he asked us to read it, and it said things like, teach, admonish, feed and provide for the Lord's family. And then this phrase that really arrested me: search for his children in the wilderness of this world's temptations. Guide them through its confusions so that they may be saved by Christ forever. And those words resonated with the deepest feelings in my own heart, and they led me to take his advice. Or it could be that the Lord has given you a particular concern for a particular country in the world. Could it be that he's saying to you, would you be willing to go and serve me there? As Jesus says to you, and you'll know if he is speaking this to you, as he says, come, follow me, is he calling you to a job, a whole new direction for your life? To give up the prospect of a lucrative career and step out in faith in his service? I did read the passage quite carefully, and I couldn't find very much about remuneration in it. I don't think there was anything, actually, was there? You don't go into Christian service to get rich. But God will provide your needs. And there is nothing more rewarding in the most important sense of that word. But for most of us here this morning, the call of Jesus will be to follow him in the context and the setting of our everyday lives as they are, and the situations that we're already in. And so for us, his call is not so much to a job, but a call to a journey. Follow me is not an invitation to put your feet up. It implies walking, doesn't it? A journey, a pathway. Jesus is leading, we're following. We're going somewhere, we're moving, we're active. Just before Jesus went back to his Father after his resurrection, he commissioned those same disciples to go into all the world, he said, and make more disciples, make more followers. And that's just what they did. They went out and they called others to follow. And so it went until eventually we found ourselves drawn in because somebody called us. And do you remember what those first followers were called? You can find it in Acts 9. They were called people who belonged to the way. People who belonged to the way. Because although they may have changed their jobs, following Christ affected the whole of their lives. Jesus calls us, all of us, to a pathway. To be like them, people of the way. And what's implied here is a whole way of life, a new way of life. Answering the call of Jesus will affect every single aspect of your life. We're not just called to a new way of spending Sunday morning, but to a new way of living 24/7. Sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? A bit daunting, perhaps. But as I look around, I can see that there are many of you who have already answered a similar call to a total change in your way of life in another area. It happened the day your first child was born. I mean, how 24/7 is that? No 9-to-5 for a new parent, is there? And if you've been in that situation, you will readily agree that yes, it was demanding and it was inconvenient and it changed lots of things. But you did it gladly because the reason for that call, the person in a sense who had called you to that, was one whom you loved. Jesus calls each of us to a new way of life. We don't need to be afraid of it. Sure, it will bring challenges. Sometimes it will bring inconveniences. It may bring opposition. But it springs from his love and from our growing love to him. It's a call that is wrapped in love. And I also want to say that being called to a way doesn't mean that you're called to be exactly the same as everybody else on that way. The call of Christ takes us as the individuals God created us to be, unique, different from everyone else, with our own special gifts, our own abilities, our own ways of understanding and thinking. It's certainly not a call to uniformity. Some of the sects might do that, but not Jesus. North Korea is very much in the news at the moment, isn't it? And I expect you've seen, like me, pictures of the great leader addressing a crowd, probably thousands, all sitting in neat rows, everyone looking exactly the same, everyone exactly the same distance from each other, you know, the kind of thing. And what happens when he finishes? They all applaud. And you look at their hands and they're all moving exactly the same distance. And it's almost as if they're being controlled on strings. And you know, whenever I see that, it sends a shiver up my spine. We are not called to the regimentation of a totalitarian regime based on fear. We are called to a way based on love. It's not even a way of rules and regulations. Paul put it like this in Romans 7. He says, we serve, we follow Jesus, we follow this way in the new way of the Spirit, not the old way of the written code. And the way that works out, I think, is that as you follow Jesus, as you read the Bible for yourself, the Holy Spirit begins to show you how that will apply to the various areas of your life. No area of life, will you find, is exempt from this new way. And there will be times when he says to you, you need to stop that activity. I would like to help you change that attitude. Why not take on that discipline? Go in that direction. Walking a pathway with Jesus is certainly not drifting through life. There is always purpose. But God's desire for each of us is that for us, that way will be a joy. It won't be an onerous duty. I think next week you're going to hear a sermon on some words of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weighed down with heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on me. Learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So think of this way to which Jesus invites you, like this. God is your creator, your designer. He knows just how your life is designed to work as he meant it to work. Our rebellion against God, our going our own way, has skewed our lives so that they no longer function as the Creator intended. Following the way of Christ is allowing our lives to become what they were designed to be. You could call it becoming truly human. As St. Irenaeus, who lived in the second century, is often quoted as saying, the glory of God is a human life fully lived. Well, he said it in Latin, which is always more succinct. But that's a bit of a generous paraphrase. But it fits in with what Jesus said. I came to give you life in all its fullness. You find that fullness as you walk the way. Finally, and very briefly, it may not be a call to a job, but it may be. It will be a call to a journey, but for all of us, it is very simply a call to Jesus. Our English Bibles say, come, follow me. Only one of those words is an exact translation of the Greek. It's actually the word me. The closest I could convey the phrase would be, "Hey, after me." Follow is clearly implied. But the point is, it's a call to him, it's a call to Jesus. And the hand that beckons you, if you look at it, has a nail print. And for that reason, it comes with great authority. And it leaves us with a choice. Not everyone who Jesus called was willing to follow. How will you respond in whatever way he's calling you to move on this morning? Many of you will be familiar with the name Duncan Bannatyne. He was one of the dragons on Dragon's Den. If you've watched that show, starting again next Sunday night, I think, not with Duncan Bannatyne in it, but he grew up in poverty, I think, in Glasgow. He started by buying one ice cream van, and from that he gradually built up a multi-million pound business empire. He also got involved with charity work with Romanian orphans. And it was while he was out there on one of those trips that he received a totally unexpected call from God. The plight of those children moved him deeply. Despite all that hard-nosed stuff on the outside, he's actually got quite a soft spot in the middle. And he found he just had to go outside the building, be on his own, because he wanted to give in to the tears that were welling up. And he cried and cried and cried. And then, and this is what he writes, and I'm quoting his exact words in his autobiography. "After many minutes, I began to get the feeling that I wasn't alone. It was there and then that God said, 'Hello.' I felt that I'd been consumed by this presence, that something had completely shrouded and taken hold of me. It was unmistakable. I knew who had come, and I also knew why. I felt I was being told, 'You've arrived. Join the faith. Be a Christian. This is it.' It was profound, and I stood there stunned, considering the offer and thinking about what it would mean. I knew I wanted to keep on building my businesses, and I wanted to keep on making money. And I also knew I wanted to carry on doing all the things I wasn't proud of. I knew I was never going to be this totally Christian guy going to church on Sundays. So I said, 'No, I'm not ready.' And God said, 'Okay,' and disappeared." That story made me deeply sad when I read it. Will God call him again? He's a God of grace. He may, I don't know. But I don't know how Duncan would respond if he did. But I do know that he calls us today. Jesus calls you and me. Follow me. Hey, after me. How will you respond? Can we just bow our heads for a moment? You know what Jesus has said to you today. You may be scared about some of the implications. You may not exactly know all that it will involve or entail. But you know that what you need to say is yes. In the quiet, will you say yes to him?